Our gospel reading this morning, the story of the two disciples who met with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, is a much loved resurrection story. It is peculiar to the Gospel of Luke. It doesn't occur anywhere else. And it's interesting because it's an appearance to two disciples or followers of Jesus, but two who were not part of the 12 disciples. There is no other mention of these two in Scripture, except in this narrative. You will notice that one of them is called Cleopas, the other one isn't given a name at all. And many people suggest it probably was Mrs. Cleopas, his wife probably, but we don't know. But it is a reminder that there was a wider group of people, including women, 120 in all, so we're told, who were in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. There was this wider group of followers as well as just the 12. But what should we take and apply to ourselves and our lives from this familiar story? And also I should be referring back to that really first reading from the preaching of Peter as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Well, my first of my usual 3 points is that it's the importance of knowing and understanding the Old Testament. The importance of knowing and understanding the Old Testament. If you look at a Bible, you'll discover that the Old Testament is 2/3 of the Christian Bible. But if we're honest, we're not very good at reading it. We know some of the familiar stories. Most of us appreciate some of the Psalms. But often we're not that au fait understanding much else. I do appreciate that parts of the Old Testament are seem totally relevant. You try reading the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, where somebody begat somebody who begat somebody, and that's about all it tells you, and you can appreciate that's not particularly edifying. But the Old Testament is the Jewish scriptures, and it's the scriptures that Jesus knew and read and to which he referred, to which he made so many allusions and also made direct quotations, and that marked his teaching, the nuances of his teaching, picking up themes out of the Old Testament. And I make this point about knowing and understanding the Old Testament because of what actually happened on that Emmaus road. What does Jesus say? Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. The prophets, of course, are in the Old Testament. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses, in other words, with the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. In other words, in the Old Testament. I pulled off my bookshelf this leather-bound Bible. It's the Revised Standard Version, superseded by the new Revised Standard Version, which our readings are taken from. This was given to me when I was 18, which for those who want to do the arithmetic was in 1970. When I left the UK to go and live in Australia, to go and see the world. It was my Bible for personal reading for many years. But like many Bibles, you may not be able to see, those of you who insist on sitting at the back, it has the text in 2 columns, but in the middle, a column of cross references in the middle. And if I were to look up Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, which I've just quoted to you, there's nearly half a column in that column of central references of Bible references, of which nearly all of them, which are Old Testament references, where Jesus explains the things concerning himself. Now, of course, the person who compiled the central references is doing a certain amount of guesswork, isn't he? We aren't told what text in particular, what parts of the Old Testament, Moses and all the prophets, as is described here, Jesus interpreted as pointing to himself, the compiler of the central references has decided on a whole series of ones which he thinks does this. But that's the importance of the Old Testament, because Jesus regarded it as pointing to him. And as I say this about the Old Testament, I will give the usual warning about only taking notes of the bits of scripture that we like, the ones that we find easy. We do also need sometimes to grapple with the more difficult bits, which is why I like the three-year cycle of readings in the lectionary that we follow, what I call the discipline of the lectionary, because it makes you do that. And of course, the Jews had taken certain parts of the Old Testament which pointed to a Messiah who would redeem them without seeing other parts of it. Was it not necessary, says Jesus, that the Messiah should suffer these things and then, or before, entering his glory? They'd missed the suffering and only looked for the glory. Missed out, for instance, the famous passage we call the suffering servant, which we had read here on Good Friday from the prophecy of Isaiah, before the eventual triumph and redemption. We need to understand and read our Old Testament as well as our New Testament. Secondly, I think this passage calls us to recognize both passages fully who Jesus is. Recognize fully who Jesus is. Cleopas, and we assume his wife, invite Jesus in when he reaches Emmaus and offer him a meal. Note that Jesus takes the role not of the guest, but of the host, which is interesting, because he takes the bread and breaks it, which was the traditional way a host at a Jewish meal would start the meal. And in doing that, of course, they recognize him as being Jesus. And notice earlier what they said about Jesus. We thought him a prophet mighty in deed and word before God. But I wonder what answers you would get if you had went out and did a survey, a questionnaire, asking, what do you think about Jesus? You get the usual, he was a good man, a good leader. Some would might say he was a prophet, just as they had done. But what does Jesus say about himself? Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer? He identifies himself as the Messiah, the Christ, the meaning is anointed one. And this is exactly also what Peter declares in his sermon, part of his sermon we had as part of our first reading from Acts. In these Sundays of the Easter season, we have these readings from Acts, and often they are a précis of early Christian sermons. This one we have this morning is Peter on the day of Pentecost. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty, says Peter, that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter is very firmly declaring that Jesus is Lord, is divine, it's the Greek word kyrios, and he is the Messiah, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the culmination of God's revelation of himself to his people. We need to recognize fully who Jesus is, not just a good man, a good teacher, but Lord and Messiah, the one who fulfills Old Testament prophecy. And then thirdly, we have a responsibility that follows on from that, which is to tell others the good news of the gospel. In our story from Luke's gospel, on recognizing Jesus at the table, Jesus himself, once Cleopas, and we assume this is Cleopas, recognize him, Jesus disappears. Yet despite it being nightfall, they'd already walked this one way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they got up and rapidly returned to Jerusalem to tell the good news to everybody else. They were excited. They couldn't keep it to themselves. Likewise, back to the reading from Acts, Peter and the disciples on the day of Pentecost, having received the power of the Holy Spirit, had to speak. They proclaimed Jesus crucified and risen, and called for a response. In fact, the crowd actually asked, if you follow the reading, "What shall we do?" And Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized." And the disciples were kept pretty busy for the rest of that day because they baptized 3,000 people, which I'm sure would have taken a fair amount of time. If the triumph of Jesus over sin and death, his resurrection to new life, is meaningful to you, which I hope it is, if it's part of your faith, your joy, your salvation, don't be selfish and keep it to yourself. Like the disciples, like Cleopas and his companion, go and tell others. I'm sure many of your good readers have read a good book. You tell others how good the book is. If you found a nice bar restaurant here in Prague, and there's plenty of them, I'm sure you've told your friends about how important and how good that place is. But the joy of the resurrection is the same. It should not be kept to yourself. It should be shared with others, just as those first disciples did so, just as Cleopas and his companion did so. So this morning, back to my 3 points in conclusion. Much as we love the New Testament and rightly read it, the Old Testament also needs to be read and understood. Because it points to who Jesus is. Having pointed to who Jesus is, we need to recognize truly that he is not just a prophet, teacher, good man, but, as Peter declares him, Lord and Messiah, divine Son of God, the one who, as I said, the Old Testament points forward to, who suffers before entering into glory. And having understood and recognized ourselves that, we are to proclaim and share the good news, to bring others to worship, to bring others into God's kingdom. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.